This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young.
And this is the podcast that answers the question, why am I doing this?
Yes.
So, Valentine's Day.
Yay.
Yeah, a whole day devoted to love and romance. You know, Erin, I don't know if when you were in grade school, everybody gave everybody those little cute little Valentines.
Yes,
and you'd go and you'd find the boxes with all the different pictures on them. And I loved it. I loved coming in having all those little envelopes with my name on them at my desk. And never dreaming in my childhood innocence that everybody had to give everybody else a Valentine, whether they liked them or not.
Yeah, you but know, you could save the uglier ones for the people you didn't like as well.
This is true. You could save the ones you didn't like for the people you didn't like. But then you get into adulthood, and it doesn't take us long to discover that love just is not fair. Not everybody gets a Valentine. Not everybody even gets an ugly Valentine.
Yeah,
in fact, the love we humans know, the love that we share as humans, it's often far from fair.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so let me ask everybody out there, was this Valentine's Day what you hoped it would be? Mm-hmm. And if so, you know, yay, great, that's wonderful. But if not, you know, if maybe many of us, you know, found ourselves sad or wounded or disappointed, that's how it is in the deep. Welcome yeah. to the deep and to the hazards of love. This is not a safe place.
Yeah, love can be a safe place, but for so many of us, it's got landmines everywhere.
Yeah.
And so as we've talked about this issue, we've realized that women in particular look to love and its celebration to give us a sense of wonder and being cherished. We want the warm fuzzy we get at the end of a
yes.
romantic comedy. Those of us who have written romances, we write them because they're so much fun, because the heroes are all heroes and the heroines is all hero-ish. And, you know, we love it that love is just wonderful. And real love, the love that we know as humans, is hardly ever like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not warm and fuzzy all the time. And there are some relationships where it's very seldom warm and fuzzy. In fact, love can end up being more hard work. And sometimes it's downright messy.
Good word.
So there are three particular hazards of love that we've identified. And there are a lot more, of course. I'm sure y'all could come up with just a boatload of them. But these are the three we're focusing on for the next two podcasts. Yes, my friends, love is a two podcast topic.
Yes.
So let's jump right into hazard number one, and that's unrealized dreams.
You know, when you haven't found love, that's
yeah.
unrealized dreams. You know, you're waiting and waiting and you're ready to jump into the wonder and the adventure.
Yes.
But your perfect mate is not showing up, you know,
right.
or maybe like me, this is my story of my dating life. You have had one potential prince after another turn yeah. out to be a big fat frog.
with warts,
yes.
with lots of big bumpy warts.
Okay. Yes, we are joking here. But we do know this is an issue that a lot of people struggle with. It's one that's makes us wonder, what is God doing? Or maybe more appropriately, why isn't he doing what
right.
we long for him to do? And in many ways, as women, this is what we long for, to be cherished. And God put that in us.
That's right.
Why isn't he fixing it?
That's exactly right. And I wish we had some profound answer to offer those folks who are single and who want to be in a relationship and are those who feel that they're ready to love and to receive love, and it's just not happening. Now, I know you've all heard the nice and tidy responses that we could give you, things like, God's working on you, preparing you to be the person your one day spouse will need.
Oh, yeah. Or being single is great because you don't have to deal with the stresses of a relationship.
Oh, and I love it when they say, well, in scripture, Paul says to us, it's better to be single so you can focus on God.
Or you just have to be patient, you know,
right.
implying that there's something wrong with you because you're not patient enough, you know,
right.
it'll happen when it happens.
Yeah.
No, these are platitudes.
Right. So here's the truth. Are you ready? There is no easy answer for being in the waiting room of God's will.
Okay, wait, right there. I love how you phrased that. It's the waiting room of God's will, not
right.
the waiting room of marriage, the
exactly.
waiting room of God's will. I love your focus there.
So, you know, regardless of what you're waiting for, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a contract, whether it's anything like that, your focus should be on God, and your focus should be on what he has for you in the midst of the waiting.
And in the midst of the here and now,
yes,
focusing on what he's doing in you right now.
Right.
Okay, but that's one unrealized dreams, but there's a lot of them that all have to do with love. You know, what about the dream proposal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many people I've ever told about my proposal.
Well, so let's hear it.
My husband proposed to me in a wonderful, nice restaurant, which I went to because my friend hinted, you know, I wasn't feeling that well that day. And my friend was like, No, you need to go to dinner with him tonight.
Let's build up some expectation there.
I know, and I'm like, maybe, you know, we'd been praying about this. Maybe this was going to be the day. I'm having a hard time. I'm eating these, you know, Pacific prawns. It's a candlelight. This place was like a candlelight place, you know. It was gorgeous. One of our favorite places. And so finally, you know, Alan's kind of hemming and hawing around. And finally he's like, okay, well, you know, we've been dating and we've been praying about this and talking about marriage and I'd like to ask you to marry me. And then he's looking at me and I'm like, well, but what? No, is he breaking up with me? He'd like to ask me, but he's not. And he's looking at me and I'm looking at him. And finally, I'm just like, well, you said you'd like to ask me to marry you, but you didn't. And he's like, Oh, I didn't? I meant to. And I'm like, well, that was beautiful, honey. I'll treasure that. That was
Okay, so I'll meet that proposal and raise you one. So Don and I had been going out and knew that things were getting kind of serious. So we're at his apartment and he's laying on the couch looking at a catalog of snow tires because winter is coming. It's
That's
Illinois.
Romantic.
Winter's coming. And he's looking at, I'm sitting on the floor and I'm reading a magazine. So he's looking at this catalog. And the next thing I know, I hear this voice from Don that says, so would you want to get married? And I looked at him and I said, excuse me. He said, well, do you want to get married? I said, explain to me where that just came from. He said, well, I'm looking at snow tires and I'm thinking the winter is coming. And right after the winter comes spring and you'll be going back to Oregon after the term ends in spring and I'll never see you again. So how would you like to get married? After I recovered from that beautiful heartfelt proposal.
The romance of it all.
The romance of it all. To this day, if Don and I go by a place that has snow tires, I'm like, look, honey, they're playing our song.
All right. Well, so that's one dream that died. The dream of the perfect proposal. What about the dream wedding?
Oh, I know some girls who, when I was younger, the girls who pored over the wedding magazines and the bridal magazines and, you know, went to look at their dresses and had everything planned out, every detail. They knew exactly what they wanted and they had it all mapped out and it was just going to be gorgeous and perfect. And, you know, when it really happens, no matter how much you plan for something, things are going to go wrong. And if we're fixed on what our dream is, we feel like they're slipping away. Like we're losing those dreams one little piece at a time.
There's another dream too. What about the dream of the love life and the marriage that has 2.5 children?
Right.
And you stay married until you're hitting your 60th anniversary. These are all dreams that may or may not come true.
So what's the fix for this kind of thing? What's the fix for unrealized dreams? And when we've been talking about this and praying about it, one of the answers that we've discovered is that you need to have a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Stop looking at your dream. Stop looking at the thing and start looking at the people.
Yeah.
Get your focus off of the events. Get your focus off of the proposal and any of that. And look instead at the people that God has in your path. And look at God's plan for you. Remember, things don't matter. Whether you've got the dress that you wanted, whether you've got the exact flowers that you wanted, all of that is nice. And I'm not saying don't try to make your dreams nice and don't try to make your dreams come true. But when things don't work out, don't hold on to them so tight that you lose the focus on what matters most. And that's you and the other person in the relationship and God. keep your focus on God.
We have dreams in our writing career too, I think. Right. And that needs a paradigm shift too. Mm-hmm. We envision the perfect launch party, the perfect right. cover. Oh, how often that happens. Mm. The perfect sales numbers, the perfect editing job, the perfect everything. It's not going to happen that way. It's not. Instead, we have to focus on simply doing the task that God has for us, finding his dream for us.
Right.
I guarantee it is not about sales numbers or contracts. It's about being in a love relationship with him,
right.
being with him. We talked a lot about that in our last podcast with Alan Arnold. That was an episode called Creating with God. If you guys haven't heard that, go back and listen to that.
So the love hazard number two sounds like a new perfume. The hazard of love number two is unmet expectation. If you're in a relationship with the one, you have your mate, but it's not at all what you expected.
Yeah, you're discovering that maybe your knight is your court jester, with a hat and the bells and
the whole
juggling
smear.
And yeah. snow tires, juggling snow tires. Yeah, you're finding maybe the little things like the way he chews or his tendency to belch in three octaves.
That's exactly right.
Or maybe his dislike of the movies that you love, like Pride and Prejudice, anybody? My husband still won't listen to that with me.
And for the love of Pete, how hard is it to pick up dirty socks? I mean, yeah, seriously. Right.
So these little things, though. These little things are becoming big things because right. they're symptomatic. We thought we'd share everything. We'd be yep. two peas in a pod, two halves of a whole. Life, it isn't like that.
Okay, let's just say it right out loud. This is not the cruise you signed on
yeah,
for.
Right.
You know, as someone who made that my mantra for way too many years, let the voice of experience tell you something. There's only one way through this kind of struggle. Only one way through, and that's to surrender your expectations. Just to lay them on the altar, to take whatever rights you think you have and just place them there and let God take care of them.
We can look at one of the most well-known Bible verses on love and see what that has for us, because I think it speaks to this issue. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. So we all know these verses, but let's just stop and really focus in on what these are saying. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Mm. To me, the theme here is what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act as we love others. This isn't about what you get. This verse isn't about, hey, I'm not getting these things, not from you. It's about what you give and how you give.
Well, there's another paradigm shift, because when I've read and listened to that before, I've seen it through the eyes of exactly what you said. I'm not getting those things from my spouse. I'm not getting those things from the people around me. But we need to read that through the eyes of, am I patient? Am I kind? Do I envy? Do I boast? Am I proud? Do I dishonor others? Am I self-seeking? Am I easily angered? And all those things become the reality of looking and saying, am I being the loving person that God is calling me to? Being in a relationship isn't about making that person to who you think they should be. It's about focusing on God and becoming who he's called us to become. To love God first and foremost and love others as yourself, be long-suffering and kind and all of those things, and leaving the other person to God.
Yeah, because it's not about changing someone else so they love you better.
Right.
It's about knowing how I need to change. It's about me choosing to act more patient, to act more kind.
And I've struggled with that from time to time, because for me, as I've looked at all of this, I feel that we can't, not only can we not change another person, we can't really, in our own power, change ourselves. We can make those decisions and we can go in full well intending to do those things, but humanity.
I mean, yeah. Well, true. You know,
all those struggles that we go through and the hurt and all that stuff that plays into it. And like scripture says, what I would do, I don't do. And the very thing I don't want to do, I do. And so it's not about changing ourselves for me as much as it is just surrendering, taking what we think are our rights and putting them on God's altar.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would totally agree with that. I mean, I do. I also think, though, that we have to be responsible. We have to
yes.
act responsibly and be proactive. We can't just right. be passive and say, okay, I'm going to sit in my corner until God changes me. You know,
yeah.
it's like, all right. But if we're praying, if we're meditating on a verse like 1 Corinthians 13, something happens, you know,
right.
to us. We might be losing our patience and wanting to yell and wanting to be angry. And then we hear that little voice, that
yes.
little calm down, check of the spirit, be patient. And then we have that choice to follow through. And
right.
and I agree with you, though, Karen, sometimes we don't mm-hmm. have the power all the time. Okay. We don't have the power to do that without God's power working in us. But we
yes.
do have to be proactive.
You know, Don and I have faced a lot of struggles in our marriage. We've been through counseling for a lot of years, and we've just had a difficult marriage, and we're both so strong-willed. I know this will be a surprise to those of you who
no.
know me. We're strong-willed, we're stubborn people, and at times each one of us has thought, I deserve a better spouse.
Wow.
But the hard truth is, we made the choice to marry. We knew weaknesses and strengths. And yes, we were young and stupid, but we made vows before God and our friends and our family. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you're in a situation that is dangerous, if you're in a situation where there's any kind of abuse, don't stay there. But in Don's and my situation, it just was freaking hard. And we both at times got tired of how hard it was. Well, where we lived in Illinois, we had in the back part of our property a fire pit, and that fire pit became Sweden. It became our neutral territory. We could be having a huge fight and we'd go outside in the evening and we'd start a fire. And then it was like, oh, that just fell away. And it was just us again and talking. And I remember one night just being so weary of the constant struggle of, you know, doing the things that we were learning in counseling and saying the things we were supposed to say.
Yeah.
And I just looked at him and I said, Don, why do we fight so hard for this? Why don't we just get a divorce? And I wasn't saying I wanted a divorce. I was saying, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And why do we keep doing this? And he was quiet for a minute. And then he looked at me and he said, you know, Karen, I just don't want that to be my testimony. I don't want it to be, it got hard, so I got out. That's not who I want to be.
Oh.
He said, I don't want to be that way in front of friends and family. I don't want to be that way in front of God.
Wow.
I'll tell you something. I'm the one brought up in the church, not Don. I was the one who had a lifelong relationship with God, not Don. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, he knows more about grace and about God than I ever will.
Wow.
And
wow.
so, you know, we focus on surrendering. We focus on giving ourselves to God, to his refinement, and making the choice to be who and what he wants us to be and to do, understanding that in and of ourselves we can't do it, but he will answer when we call to him and when we surrender.
These are the hard truths
yes.
about love, about romance. I mean, for people out there who are writing books and they have romance in the book somewhere, and, you know, you get those complaints. Oh, it's so sappy. It's so this, it's so that. Well, yeah, maybe it is if you're not putting the hard truths in there.
Right.
If you're not being authentic with the struggles of what's going on.
As somebody who started out writing romance novels, one of the things that we have to make sure we don't do is make the fantasy first and foremost what's important rather than the reality of love and romance. Yes, a romance novel has a certain tone and there are certain golden rules that you have to fill. You know, they have to meet early, they have to be the primary focus of the book, and there has to be the happy ending. Well, we don't get happy endings often in life, but even in the context of a romance, you can write authentically. You can write authentically about the struggles and the difficulties in communication, not those easy little tensions that all it would take is one conversation between the hero and the heroine to
get past
it.
A cup of coffee.
Yeah. You know, but let's be authentic about these struggles and about how hard it is in the deep when we're caught up in relationships. Let's give ourselves and our true life experiences to those for whom we're writing our stories, or the nonfiction book that talks about marriage. Don't give those easy answers about it, or singleness. Don't give the platitudes. Give the truth of what you experience going through the deep.
So we have talked about two hazards and their solutions, but we still have a third one to talk about. And I think it's probably the hardest one. And so it's going to get its own show.
There you go.
You have to join us next time.
It's very unpodcast.
As we finish.
That's right. So it's amazing, isn't it? We think about love. We dream about love. And it seems like it should be so easy, but it's not. It's complex. And how much work is it? It's just so hard to look at this and to think, wow, this just isn't what I thought it was. When you think about the things that we've discussed here in this podcast today, things like unrealized dreams and unmet expectations, you know, it's almost enough to put you off of love.
Yeah.
But here's the beauty of all of this, and that's that none of our human experience of love is beyond God's understanding or his desire to fix where we're broken. His love for us is amazing, unending and eternal. His love is what's being talked about in that First Corinthians scripture. His love is patient and kind, and we just need to reflect that to each other. It just blows my mind to know that the God of the universe is at work every moment of every day to show each of us what love really is. So my prayer for each of you who are listening, my prayer for every one of you is that God's love will overwhelm you today.
So if you guys have been enjoying these podcasts, we hope you have, and we hope you will share them with somebody else. You can also go to our website, writefromthedeep.com. We have a free audio download there, 5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart. And if you haven't heard that, we definitely encourage you to check that out at writefromthedeep.com.
That's right.
So this has been Write from the Deep
with Karen Ball
and Aaron Taylor Young. Embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.